Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
What about that?
This is the Midweek Rush.
This one is good.
Triple M rocks footy.
Nice to have the boys in, Nate Brown. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to be here, Jim.
And Damo, we had you on Monday. Nice to see you, by the way.
Hello, Jim. Bill Nath.
You said that Alan Richardson was definitely not going to coach next year, but were you even surprised at how quickly the announcement came?
Yeah, given it was 24 hours after that, Jim, and clearly conversations were being had over the weekend, and they... As we said at that time, and had for some weeks now, they had, I think, relayed quite professionally and courteously to Alan Richardson their thinking, and they just brought forward those thoughts to the Monday just gone. And ultimately, as sad as it is for a good person in footy to now not have that job that he's had for 6 years, it's the right call for that club.
So what do you say to people who are of the opinion, with the great friendship between Simon Lefflin and Brad Scott, that it's a boat race?
No, I don't see it as that. I mean, clearly he will have a chance to present, and so he should, because they are telling us they're going to cast the net very wide, Brownie, on all potential options. The relationship they've got is actually probably going to work against Brad now that it's got so public.
That was going to be my next point.
And has become
think
so
it's
friendly.
Pushing the other way.
Yeah,
exactly.
And... I say that we're also factoring in that Andrew Bassett is a businessman of the highest order and acumen and professionalism. So he wouldn't allow something like that. And I think that needs to be factored in. So if Brad does get through the process and emerge as the best person in Andrew Bassett's eyes, that is all the ticket needs. But in terms of it starting as a starting point, has it been done? No, I don't believe that, nor have I, apart from the fact that the friendship will get Brad through the line, and which it would have anyway, probably.
I am of the opinion, Nafe, that Brad Scott would not allow a boat race. He would say, the only way I'm even getting involved in this is if I'm part of a very thorough process. And you know, Simon Lefflin's a quality person, so I'm with Damo and everyone else. I can't see that would ever
be I don't think they're going to play favourites there. The question has to be asked, and we didn't see Carlton improving like they have under a caretaker coach. We didn't see North Melbourne improving the way they have. Can St Kilda do the same thing? Have they got the cattle there to work with? And does Brett Ratten stand a chance at the end of this if they do well?
Yeah, he does, Brownie. I mean, he's got the nearly 6 years in the system at Carlton already.
His record at Carlton was very good.
He's really good. Mm. Yeah, historically good for coaches in the system.
And they rated him at Hawthorn for his football nous in setting up their defensive stuff.
Yep.
And they rated him highly at Hawthorn. Yep. And early this year, St Kilda were playing some pretty good football as well. Even though they had some injuries, they've fallen away since then. But a lot of that was attributed to Brett Ratten in the early stages of this year.
No, to your question, he's absolutely in the pecking order when it comes to what happens beyond the 6 weeks of interim tenure. Yep.
What about the others? Michael Voss, chance?
I don't feel it's St Kilda, Bill. I do feel he's in the race. Well, he is in the race at Carlton. He's been given the right to present and will, but I don't see it happening at St Kilda.
Harvey might go back to St Kilda.
I'd be surprised if he didn't get a call up.
Yeah.
How he presents is obviously going to be crucial to it. He's been in the system now 11 years, Bill, and at three different clubs, St Kilda for 1 year under Ross Lyon. So, look, I like his CV. It's been 8 years under Nathan Buckley, one under Ross, two under Brett Ratten at Carlton, actually, when he was straight out of footy. So I think he has to get a call up, Jim. Again, he's been in the system 11 years. It's a long time, isn't it? He's never gone near getting a senior job, but the planets may align for the old job, the old club, for him to be the one.
Who's under Al Clarkson at the minute, Nafe? Because traditionally one of them gets a job.
They pop out, don't they? And they've done really well. I think there's, what, six or seven current AFL coaches that have served under Alistair Clarkson, which is extraordinary and a great thing for obviously Alistair Clarkson to leave on this game.
Anyone that we don't know, though, is the question.
Well, I'll throw a couple other names, Jim. Lenny Hayes, Brendan Lade, Jake Rawlings.
Jade Rawlings.
Jade, even,
I'd say no, and no, Bill, on what we seem to be hearing about those guys' chances this time around.
If I were this time last year, if I said David Teague and Reece Shaw, you would have said no.
You would have said that.
We don't know how many are out there, do we?
Absolutely. Which is why North Melbourne, I feel, still should go through a form of process as opposed to the one that they clearly are going down, that being just to appoint a man, Jim, who, as we've said a few times now, was not in their reckoning 6 weeks ago. Six games of footy later, four of them wins later, he's a near lock for that job.
Well, I know they're very impressed with him. That's all I do know. But the two big names that are in the water, but aren't biting are Stevie the Chompers Johnson,
yep,
who's not quite ready but thinks he probably should be.
Yes.
And also is, Sam Mitchell. Yeah. And, I mean, aren't they? They're the two big sort of sizzle
Sam Mitchell's the one at Hawthorn you ask about, Jim. Darren Glass is there. And Adam Nuzet's another one. Sam Mitchell, Chris Newman. Scott Burns is at Hawthorn. And he's been around
Chris
for a
Newman
while.
Coached his own VFL side to a premiership, so the Box Hill Hawks.
So they're the Hawthorn assistants.
Yep. But I think Sam Mitchell, ones, they're probably not quite ready.
But he's got the swagger and the belief in himself to do well. And I'm not of the theory, and I think a lot of people differ with me here, that I think that you don't need 5, 6, 7, 8 years. If you are born to coach, I think if you need to learn a little bit on the job, you can. I mean, he's going to have time. If Sam Mitchell's the right man for it, I think he thinks he is. But if he gets it, I'm not sure. But I genuinely think, I don't think there's any reason why someone who's only been out of the game 2 or 3 years and had limited coaching time can't do the job if they are the best at it.
I said to Damo Monday, the thing that impresses me about Rhys Shaw, and I know nothing about the process and really don't know him. I met him socially three or four times and always found him and his brother to be very easy blokes to meet and chat to. But I really don't know him. But I love how emphatically and authentically that group are playing for him immediately.
Yep.
And you can't make that up. You two know.
Yep. No, you can't flick a switch, and it's like he has flicked the switch from the last time they played Essendon where it was Good Friday footy, they were like witches' hats, to now. I think the hardest thing in footy is to get players all at once to do the same thing and be, ravenous around the footy at the football and at the man and put enormous pressure on for 100 minutes of football. He's been able to do that since he took over, and I think he's been able to do that every game.
Well, we had Jack Zeeble on, the captain, yesterday. He said the relationships that he's built in a short time has been unbelievable. The relationships.
Yeah, they love him. There's no doubt about that. So it's interesting. You got Carlton. Let's say that Rhys Shaw and North are pretty happy with themselves. So you've got two clubs that are after a senior coach. And is that going to be the only one, by the way? Is John Worsfold's last 5 weeks enough
still,
for him?
The last 5 weeks have been good, actually, but the next 6 weeks are equally crucial too. It could still fall away, and if it does, the conversation starts again, and there is no doubt it will. Ken Hinckley's the worry,
I feel, right now.
Yeah, I do.
Didn't he sign a big good contract?
Yeah, he's contracted. Yeah. He's contracted, but at some stage the lack of consistent performance will come back.
So it wouldn't have helped him on the weekend.
Nah, it was a bad week for the club.
Yeah, exactly. It seemed like they have to get up for something. Like they don't have their own
manufacturing
fortitude to get up for a big game. But if they play Geelong, they get up. If they play Adelaide in the showdown, they get up. They play the Dogs in a rainy night, they get rolled. And last week against the Brisbane Lions, they don't turn up in the first quarter.
And to your point, Brownie, it's a good one because they almost tried to manufacture a moment last week in the targeting of Lachie Neale.
And they'll never be any good and they won't be able to win finals because they have to manufacture stuff. It's not natural like the Kangaroos are playing at the moment. He's got them playing natural football. But the Blues is the plum job. Carlton is the plum job. It is like, I think, buying Google when nobody'd heard of Google at a share price. They are going to be scary good in a couple of years.
How many All-Australians have they got in your estimation? It's 27, wasn't it?
I'm going to come back next year. 13 All-Australians, I'll bring it back. maybe 2 years.
That was an embarrassing day for Port.
It was.
Brownie, there is nothing tough about belting someone when his back's to you.
No.
Yeah. I mean, it was really poor. And if you're David Koch or the directors of that club or the hierarchy at that club, you'd be saying, well, that's not what we stand for.
Would it go that high, Jim?
It should. Stick your head over the footy when it's there to be won. And that's when you're tough, not when someone's trying to run off the ground.
So that's the problem, Jim. I don't mind the fact that they went after Lachie Neale, but they then need to back themselves up and put their own heads over the footy and get the footy as well. They do that part of it and rough Neale up, but then do their job and get the footy and beat them at the coalface, that's when it's okay.
But also,
if they do that and don't do the other, then you question
it. Rough him up the right way too. Blocking around stoppages, not when he's trying to make his way off the ground.
Yeah. I mean, with an eye that needed serious medical attention, he'd been poked at it, and that has really blown up that eye.
This weekend, guess who they play? Richmond, MCG, Triple M.
We're there.
So this is a big test for them, isn't it? To see how they do come out.
Certainly.
Because your old mob are going beautifully.
Right. They're going very well.
Oh, Brian reckons they're going
to
win it.
Yeah, we'll get to Brian on Saturday. But I think we all knew once they got their best cattle back that they had great footy in
And they're not all back either at the moment. I think Jack Riewoldt's going to be a work in progress. Tom Lynch, I still don't think, is playing his best football. But Richmond are looking scary at the moment.
Right. Jack Higgins, is he okay?
Neil Barmer spoken today, Bill, and to quote Neil Barmer, he hopes it's not serious. What that means, I don't know. But what we do know with football, don't we, that once a player's got an ailment like that, football club is the best place for him to be in, and then they've got access to the best medicos. So the combination of the two has him in the absolute best spot. And while footy's not going to be something he does for at least, I would think, a fortnight as a bare minimum, you'd think and hope the big picture is well and truly being taken care of.
Right. Nick Riewoldt has put his hand up to choose the next St Kilda coach. He was speaking on SEN this morning. We're going to get to that and also who else might be a part of that panel next.
This is the Midweek Rub.
The chance is up.
Triple M rocks footy.
I point blank refuse to believe that a man can invite his mates around to watch a boxing bout pay-per-view and then charge his mates to be in his house. I can't believe the Chompers Nafe would ever have done that.
Well, believe it, Jim, because this is an extraordinary man who is happy to admit that he had done that and has excuses for it. Well, this is the reasons why these guys earn enough money. I put on the day. I provided the alcohol. I provided the meat.
So
they should. This is a guy that didn't want to pay to go into a local football game.
I told you.
So to watch his own son set up a deck chair outside the barbed wire and then blame the fact that he couldn't take his dog in there is the reason why he didn't go in.
Chompers.
Yep.
And Jim, on that pay-per-view fight, it was the Danny Green Mundine fight, the first one, and he got people around. He did the calculations on the calculator, and it came out to, we think it was $11.86, and he rounded it up to $12 a head.
Chompers, I'm staunch in my support of the Chompers.
No, Jim, you know.
No, you're not, Jim.
Of the glistening white teeth.
He rounded up, Jim.
I cannot believe any of that happened.
His wife used to give him $10, $5 it might have been, for lunch. And it's true. And he bought a pie one day and he couldn't buy a drink because he only had one.
And remember that weekend that they went to? And it was like a cabin in the woods, which was just real freaky. Didn't have any hot running water. Didn't have anything. It was like one of those things you see in a horror movie. And he took her there.
Where is he at?
Stayed there because he didn't want to get a motel.
Come on, Chompers. Nick Riewoldt on SEN this morning, Damo, says that if asked, he will happily help the club out with their next coach selection.
He'd be a good choice, wouldn't he? I think I would imagine. Not sure about another bloke who's putting his hand up to do it, Jim.
Grant Thomas, of course.
I think it would have to coincide, a blue moon would have to coincide with hell freezing over on that day for that to happen, Jim, and I think that's probably not a bad outcome for the Saints.
You don't like Grant Thomas, do you?
No, I don't. I don't think the Saints...
Where does the hatred for Grant Thomas stem from?
I don't know. We haven't got long enough, Brownie, but I don't think that club needs to revisit the Grant Thomas era for any aspect of its future.
But Rui's as good a man as there is in football, very, very educated. And I reckon he'd be very good at it.
Well, we'll see shortly what they're going to do there. Mitch McGovern.
Yes, this is interesting. What's happened? Has he been told just to step over there and do extra running?
Been eating all the pies, apparently.
Poor old Mitchy. Poor old Dubby.
But he's always presented that way, hasn't he?
So has his brother.
Yeah, and clearly under this new arrangement with David Teague and the need to sharpen up and also
I don't think it's that. I think it's just based on form. You can be tubby, you can be overweight, you can be unfit, but as long as your form's okay, I think that papers over all cracks and you're playing some pretty good foot. You look at his brother. He's not the fine specimen you'd think an AFL player is. Mm. He plays unbelievable football. I think Mitch McGovern's problem is he's just not getting the football.
And look, they've committed a lot of money to him over a lot of time, and the first year has not been at all good.
But he missed pre-season a fair whack of it, which doesn't help.
But he also was recruited, Bill, having only played the 46 games in the four seasons he'd been on the Crows list. Yeah. So, you know, he's got a bit of work to do to re-establish his credentials.
Someone told me that you come back from pre-season once a bit balloonish.
Once, yeah.
Yeah, you've blown right up. I didn't know it was.
I won an All-Australian year before. I thought I'd take a few liberties. And,
I
finished behind James Cook on a 4K time trial. Big Cookie. It was around the Melbourne University track. Geez. So a nice track that's quick. Yeah. 18 minutes 30. I had to go into Plough's office and he asked me what the hell was going on. What did you do over the off-season? I said, just calm down. I said, just wait until round one comes and then it'll be okay. And then he banished me for 3 weeks. I had to train on my own.
How were you in round one?
Malcolm Blight,
kick six.
We did that comeback from pre-season. They were the days when you didn't do anything. And I'd come back and I'd had a fair pre-season. Malcolm Blight in front of the boys goes, and we got a new player. Stand up. And he looks at me and goes, stand up. And I was fat as a fool. I look like the Michelin man.
Come on.
Oh, geez, I've blown up.
Before we finish on Mitch McGovern, is he playing at the right end of the ground?
I haven't seen him play back a lot.
It's where his brother's always played his best footy, and it's easier to play back there.
Certainly easier to play centre-half back than centre-half forward. So, and they've got a good forward set up at the moment with McKay, and obviously Curnow's out at the moment, but Kesbolt going forward and back as well. So maybe they could try him in the back end. But in saying that, they've got a lot of good defenders as well at the moment, the Blues.
Ben Jacobs is a sad story for himself personally, Damo, but also the footy club he plays for, because very, very good and important.
Yeah, he is. And it's now been a season and a half, hasn't it, where he just has not played at all. And the unknown component to why he's missing is as equally big a worry. They've done so many tests ranging from, you know, head to sinus to other
dental.
Dental absolutely. Was another one. Yeah,
neck, and they've been everywhere to try and work out why.
So he's
these
got symptoms all the time, has he?
Yeah, and they thought they zoned in on it about this time last year, thinking it was a sinus issue, which they focused on for a period of time, and then that was proven to not be the reason. It may have been a reason, but not the reason. So, no, it's a worry, Jim, and it certainly cost North Melbourne a potential finals berth last year when he came out of the team, didn't he? Because they were tracking okay.
He's a very, very good player, as is Taylor Adams, who makes his way back, as is Sean Higgins, who makes his way back. So, well,
some good stock coming back. Yep. Really good fella, Taylor Adams, too. And another runner through the midfield. The Pies was a terrific effort last week, and they got another big game against GWS this week. Against GWS, they'd love to have him because they have got enormous runners at home.
I don't think, Nafe, and Purple, and
Bill,
and Fat, for that matter,
maybe,
that we quite understand, relevant to your club, we quite understand how phenomenal the Irish impact is on our game.
Yeah.
It is just extraordinary how many Irish players. Colin O'Riordan's just signed for another couple of years at the Swans.
To be sure, Jim.
These people have never played our game, Nafe, until they're in their late teens and are now as good a players as we have.
But the thing that strikes me the most about all Irish players are they're the best kicks. They eventually kick out for their football club.
Zach Tui.
Pierce Hanley. All these guys, just elite kicks of the footy. And they play a very similar game to us, but they got a really different style when they kick the ball. It's like they hold the ball out a little bit wider and they kick across their body with a different action.
I saw you doing that when you represented Australia.
Yeah, it was good. And but what they do is they've just got this technical genius where they're so straight and kick the ball so
and they
straight.
Keep it's great. Soft. They don't belt it at you. They kick it nice and soft.
Yep.
So it's easy to mark for their teammates. They do it really well. Zach Tui's a standout. Now, Brownie, you've brought something in today.
Well, hello.
You want to build a perfect player.
Yeah.
So you've given us some categories.
Criteria.
And you want to know.
So we're going to have the best
player, right?
The best kick, we're going to choose the best mark.
Yes.
Player with the best speed, the best brain, goal-kicking ability, leader, toughness, and the one that puts us through the turnstiles, Bill.
Righto. Best kick.
I'm going to go with Dustin Martin because I like the way Dustin Martin, decision-making to go with his kicking through the midfield is outstanding.
Yep, Gary Ablett for I.
Daniel Rich, I would say.
Yeah.
Marking, I've taken Big McGovern in the back end. I don't think there's a better mark in the AFL than McGovern.
Nat Fife.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Right, McGovern, though. It's your
speed,
list.
Danger.
I'm going to go with Johannessen. I just think he's a game-breaking ability off halfback.
Danger's all right. Brain, Scott Pendlebury.
Same as me. Let's hope he is smart. We think he is. We've both gone with him.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Okay, goal kicking.
Michael Walters.
I've gone Gary Ablett.
Phenomenal.
John Butcher.
toughness.
Was he the worst? Toughness, I've gone with... Joel Selwood.
I've gone with Ben Cunnington.
Oh, yeah, good one. Actually, I like that. Yep.
Leadership.
Joel Selwood.
I've gone Luke Hodge.
Luke Hodge. Mm-hmm.
And the turnstiles.
All right, the turnstile.
DeGoey or Eddie Betts.
One of Luke.
Or Fife or Danger.
I've gone Franklin. I don't think there's been a more watchable player in the last 30 years. Probably Gary Ablett Sr. before him and now Franklin.
It's funny. I was thinking last night for a little subject, Jim, as always do, bring in stuff to the table.
Well, you almost never do.
And you've come in with how to build a perfect player. How do you build the perfect coach, which is right at the minute? What does the perfect coach look to you? Reece Shaw, I wouldn't say he looks like the perfect coach because he's a lad and all that, but I don't know.
I think the key, Bill, and this is probably a quality that does now transport across all clubs, because certain qualities won't appeal to all clubs at the same time.
No.
But relating to your players has become...
Empathy
probably sums that up best. At all stages now, Brownie, because you just need to have an awareness of what Gen, whatever we're into now, is going on with.
Millennials.
Alistair Clarkson does it really well. His relationship with the player, with the girlfriend, wife, or whatever, he does that very well. But also, you've got to have some footy nous, don't you? You've got to be clever and smart. That's what
game,
I love.
Your game plan's got to be more important than your relationship with the players, I think.
Malcolm Blight was a
star. Don't know, Brownie, in 2019. Not as sure as that as it
be,
once was.
You could be great mates with all of your players, but if your game plan doesn't stack
not
up.
Not mates, just an awareness of where they're at. Yeah. But I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying, and some clubs would put that as number one, but not all of them.
And then know how the game unfolds, and that's what they said about Bomber Thompson. Yeah, he didn't do a lot during the week, but on game day, he just knew what was happening. Could see it unfolding, which is... So who's that? Hello?
Well, Simpson.
The song nearly come on, Damien.
Yeah. Well, was it my question? It's Brownie's idea. I'd probably put Adam Simpson on that.
He was talking to you that day, Mike.
Well, I've got to allow to give it some consideration as opposed to just blurting something out.
Shania Twain nearly come on.
I don't mind that because Shania Twain. They're the clubs, Brownie, that are able to adjust in-game.
Yep.
That's when you know you've got a coach that knows what he's doing. Simpson. They get him in at quarter time and they can adjust in-game and then it makes an impact.
And having the communication with the players to be able to implement that. So you might have four or five players you go to implement that out on the field, and they're able to listen and do that.
So West Coast, a good example, because they did that in the grand final, actually before quarter time.
Yep. Yeah, and Shannon Hearn set it up. It was almost that 15 seconds of silence, Bill, when the station kicks in, doesn't it?
No, it goes to a song. That's what I was waiting for.
You trialled that last year.
Yeah, we did, remember? Yeah. We didn't talk.
Bill had finished up. He had seven ideas for the year, and we're on for nearly 7 months. Yeah. So he comes with about an idea a month. Yeah. You know, we were in the last week of broadcasting last year, and Bill had completely run out of things to say. So he said... Well, does that actually exist, that backing tape? Let's try it.
So you got such a big bucket of peanuts over there. That's the biggest bucket of peanuts I've ever seen.
He's power telling food. A story, bro. Yeah.
They're a power food.
I just caught the corner of my eye.
Didn't like the story.
Tom, what we're doing.
Did it kick in you?
We waited for that long that people started actually tuning into AM station. That's how bored they were. They went over there.
Damo, I've got something coming up too. I don't know if you've heard this, but something I'm unusual? About to break something explosive. It's also exclusive confirmation.
What is it? No, Bill has set off the top. It's the biggest story in the AFL season, and he's going to break it. And this is the other thing he said, Purple. He's going to break it after you leave, so you can't claim it.
Because you'll claim it, exactly right.
Oh, yeah, because I do that, don't I?
I was looking at more 338, I think I told him.
Does it need to be checked, Bill? Do you need to check it?
No. Yeah. Well, I've got someone to confirm.
Wow.
On the line.
Yes, exactly, this story. Right.
Will it be picked up by other media?
Wowee! It'll lead the newses. They'll cut in at Fox Footy.
They'll cut in.
And we've been no boxing for 2 weeks. So the first one back's always hell.
When's that?
And every time the first one back happens, someone doesn't turn up.
Oh.
Got to go to Adelaide early tomorrow, Jim.
Oh, it's poor. What are you doing in Adelaide?
Christina's doing a speech to a local university over there about women in business. So I'd go
send of home, the beautiful products. Her.
Oh, do you? And you take some candles and sell them at the door?
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. No. You do it.
And you'll be staying there for Friday, or are you coming back?
No, I'll be there on Friday as well. 2 days over there. Yeah.
Nice. Elite businesswoman, your beautiful wife. Send
too good for me.
Magnificent products. All right, well, nice to see you too. Purple, make sure you're listening next break.
Yeah, we'll be. I won't be leaving.
The biggest Purple. Story of the year.
There you go.
Purple's a great nickname.
You're backing away a bit, Bill?
Oh, it's not that big, Jim.